Welcome everyone. A lot of new faces. Let's just quickly check who's here for Milan's baptism. There are some faces, some men of armor sitting in Milan's baptism. You guys are very welcome. This morning, I'm very excited to share this morning. I like this title, The Blessing of Salvation, because I'm already stepping on some toes. So put your feet under your chairs, it's not going to be that bad. Okay. Let me pray first before we start. Father, thank you that we can come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we have been led here this morning, that it is not by accident, and that we are here to hear your word, to worship you, and to hear what is on your heart. I pray, Father, that your words would remain, that my words would fade, and that your kingdom would come. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, how I got here to this message this morning, we are hearing of these accounts and these testimonies of people being saved right now radically on the borders of Ukraine. And it's amazing, and it struck me that the salvation that we have and the salvation that they receive and they have there is the same salvation. Okay. So what is true for them the moment that anyone there in that situation of tribulation experiences has to be true for us as well. It's the same salvation. Okay. And so I was contemplating that this week, that there are, last year it was Afghanistan, now it's Ukraine. We see that there are brothers and sisters in our world who are experiencing great tribulation. Okay? And our salvation that we share is the same. Because we have the same Lord Jesus. He died on one cross. He was resurrected on one day for all of us. Now the salvation that God extends to us is multifaceted. So just this morning we're going to look at a certain part of this salvation, this common salvation that we share. And before I go there, I got a picture to help us just understand a bit. Right, so that's a prism, for those of you who don't know. That's white light. That's color. Right. So, why I've got this up. When we consider the salvation of God, the light of His grace is reflected in many different colors. It's the same salvation, but when we consider the salvation of God, we can talk about many different things. In the last weeks, I've been sharing about the atonement that the cross brought for us, for our sins. Right? So if you go from there, that speaks to the payment for our sin. Right? By putting our faith in Christ, we receive atonement for our sin because He paid the price. Then we've covered a couple of these things, but I want to quickly run through some of these shades of salvation that we can talk about. Next, we obviously understand that when you become saved, you become born again, right? So that speaks of the being born of the Spirit in salvation. You become a new creation. Then and that's our adoption in Christ. When we accept the work of the cross, we become adopted as children of God. Then we obviously understand that as Christians, we are in Christ due to our salvation. We are in Christ as a fish is in water. Water is the natural element of a fish. We are in Christ as our natural element as Christians. That's where we abide because of our salvation. We understand Jesus came in paying the price on the cross. He made us free from the fear of death and free from the power of sin. Right? So therein lies another aspect of this salvation that we have through faith by grace, is our freedom. That speaks also towards our authority as Christians. We are free from the fear of death. We are free from sin. And the Holy Spirit leads us and empowers us to be free and to walk that out. Okay? So I'm not giving us a full, let's call it exegesis this morning. I'm saying as we look at the salvation of God, there are these aspects to it. And this morning I'm going to focus on one of those aspects. And it is the aspect that the salvation of God is the very blessing He promised to Abraham. It is the fulfillment of that promise. If we read in Genesis 22, it says here, this is God speaking to Abraham. He says, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." We know that Abraham is called the father of faith. He heard God and he obeyed what he did, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So God says, in your seed, and we now know, looking back, that is a reference to Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that is the fulfillment of that promise, is the what we call the blessing of salvation. So this morning, I'm taking us there because that blessing of salvation, if we understand it correctly, is the same blessing of salvation that you receive in the Ukraine today if you give your life to the Lord Jesus. Right? That same blessing you're experiencing in Afghanistan and in China in the underground church as we experience here today. So if what we consider the blessing of Christ to be something else, then we are considering a false blessing. Because if we have considered I must be sensitive here, I'm hashtag blessed as the fulfillment of that promise, when those things are taken, as many of our brothers are experiencing at the moment, we will falter in our faith. We have the blessing of salvation the moment we come to salvation and we remain there, regardless of the circumstances. So, I don't want us to get sidetracked here. God is good. He does give us good things, and He gives them to us for our enjoyment. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, you can go look there, he says, just don't get distracted by it. Let's read that verse. Otherwise, you're going to... He says, this is just a warning about the context for the good things God does give us. Verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Okay, so I'm just parking that, but I just want us to make a clear distinction. That is not the blessing of God. Right? Mm-hmm. That is not the blessing of salvation. The blessing of salvation is in Jesus Christ. Let's look at what Jesus, our Lord Jesus, considered to be a blessed person. That is, I think, a great starting point. If we want to understand correctly what it is that God has blessed us in Christ, let's look at what Christ told us is blessed. Yeah? That might make sense. So I want us to turn to Matthew 5. So last week, we were looking at the temptation of Christ. I find it fascinating. Jesus comes out of the wilderness, overcoming the temptation of the enemy. And in Matthew, the first teaching we have recorded, Jesus starts then with this this sermon, and it starts with the Beatitudes, which are the attitudes of being. Right? That's just short for attitudes of being. He starts with the Beatitudes, which are talking about blessed are. He's come out of the wilderness and he starts with blessed are. But let's read through them together. I think I split them up in the slides, but it's okay. We'll start with Matthew 5, 6, two slides later. So last week I didn't have slides, so I'm trying to impress you this week with slides. Can you read from the back there? A little bit, you got your glasses on. Okay. Let's look at what Jesus says here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus keeps using this phrase, blessed are, and then for. Yeah? We must look at the for, we are to understand the are. And if we go to the slide, Matthew 5, verse 3 to 6, Jesus starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is someone who is poor in spirit? Let's take it a step back. Mankind throughout is born poor in spirit. The blessing is not being remaining poor in spirit. It's understanding that you're poor in spirit. Because therein lies the understanding that you need help. Blessed are the poor in spirit because they've realized that they are poor in spirit. And he says, it's interesting for me, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are other terms, for they will. For the poor in spirit, says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because when you realize that you are poor in spirit, then you turn to the one who is not, and you put your faith in him, you become born again into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven came with the king who came from heaven. When Jesus came to earth, he established the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he left, he did not leave with him. The kingdom of heaven is wherever the king is Lord, wherever his people are. So the poor in spirit have this. The kingdom of heaven is already theirs. And just to warn us, we read in Revelation 3 verse 17, where Jesus is talking to people in his kingdom. Now this is the resurrected Christ. In Revelation 3, I always keep saying Revelations because it's such a revelation. So I'm always reminded that the book's name is actually Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We read these words where Jesus is talking heart to heart with some of his children. I don't have them on the slide, so we can read together. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. There's a whole sermon in these verses. The point I want us to understand this morning is we in ourselves remain poor in spirit. Even as the children of God, our wealth is in Jesus Christ. We must remain in that place, because that is a place of humility, understanding that within me is not the answer, within him is the answer. It is that humility that Christ displayed, that we spoke about a few weeks ago, that we see in Philippians 2, where he as the humble servant came and made and obeyed the Father unto death, the death on the cross. So the poor in spirit is an attitude of humility that Jesus says that is blessed. To remain in that attitude of humility is to remain in the attitude that he displayed, if we read Philippians 2. The next verse. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What does mourning speak of? Now, there is mourning for our own sin. There is mourning for what we see in the world around us. And all of these are things that fall in this. Blessed are those who mourn. If we mourn for our sin, we will be comforted. Paul writes, you have been comforted by him so that you can comfort those around you. There is a mourning that results in depression, but there is a mourning that is godly sorrow for what you have done, for what is going on around you, and that godly sorrow leads to repentance, leads to salvation. We read that in 2 Corinthians 7.
Yes.
Godly sorrow is the mourning that we are hearing about here. Those who mourn that have godly sorrow will be comforted. They are blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So the English translation of the word meek is very difficult, because we understand meek as weak. But it's a difficult word to translate. But what we're talking about here actually is strength under control. So what the Lord Jesus is saying is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I always wondered about this. Let me just quickly get a bit sidetracked. If God's recreating the earth, why would we inherit the earth? So here's my little take on it. Is he talking about authority in this earth right now? Is, from the kingdom perspective, God grants authority on this earth to the meek, to those who are willing to place strength under control. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came, fully God, fully man, placed himself under the will of the Father. The Father said, what's going on in the temple is not good. Jesus goes, maximum. Strength under control. He clears the temple. Careful as to what he destroys and throws up. It's a picture of meekness. Jesus is meek in that moment. Because if the Son of God, the way we read about in Revelation, was to clear the temple, it would look, we would have a crater. So here's Jesus, the Lord Jesus, showing meekness, and he says, those who exercise strength under control, the meek, I will grant authority on this earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You cannot hunger and thirst for something if you're full of something else. So the Lord's saying, those who are willing to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? We understand righteousness as right standing with God, but it is more than that. Also, it is also to do right is righteous. To pursue what is just is righteous. If you hunger You are not satisfied. You will not eat what is short of righteousness. You will not accept what is short of the right thing. You will remain hungry instead of compromising what is right. The Lord says that is blessed. It's interesting that we get this rhythm. He starts with blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he talks about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And later he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can see, when we become saved, when we understand our poor in spirit nature, we become saved, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit leads us to walk that out in life. You will be persecuted for it, but yours is the kingdom of heaven. For they will be filled. Peter and Paul, I'll read these verses about that idea of being persecuted for righteousness, because it just makes sense that we deal with it now. Peter writes, but even if you should suffer for what is right, in other words, you're doing what is the righteous thing to do, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Paul writes, he covers a little bit more terrain. Paul, I think, used a bit more words, maybe like me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Do what is right for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, the good news, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. There's good news for you. If you stand up for what is right and you want to walk out righteousness, you will be opposed. Right? Just accept it. But yours is the kingdom of heaven. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved. The blessing of salvation. And that by God. For those who stand for righteousness. These are things that the Lord Jesus is pointing out. This is what the blessing of salvation looks like in a believer's life. The moment you become saved, these are available. But you need to believe and you need to trust the Holy Spirit to lead you in that. But it is the heritage of the saints. And go on to, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, what is a merciful person? So, at what point do you exercise mercy? When you have a right and you're not going to enforce it. So, the definition for mercy is not getting what you deserve. So, when the children of God are merciful, they are not insisting on their own rights. They are not giving what this person deserves. They are exercising mercy. And the Lord says, they are blessed because if they do that, they will be shown mercy. They are linked. For they will be shown mercy. Mercy by whom? Mercy by the Father. You know, we are quick to ask for mercy from the Father, but are we quick to grant mercy to others? That's the heart of a believer that the Lord Jesus says is blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What is it to be pure in heart? To be pure in heart is to have an undivided heart. We read in Psalm 86, 11. I have it somewhere. I'm just getting it. Actually, I got the Luke and James version on this because it's got this, this last term. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Blessed are the pure in heart. These are, this is an attitude. Look, we are always approaching God in humility, repenting of our sin, asking to clean our hearts. But that is a, that is an attitude of having a singleness of heart, a heart consecrated unto the Lord. A heart that is pure is a heart that is undivided. It is not mixed. It is purified. Because when we experience, we see what our impurity does, we have remorse. We have godly sorrow. And that leads to a pure heart. When we bring that to the Lord, He forgives us. And we are saved from that. We are cleansed from that. For they will see God. Now we know man has not seen God. What is this speaking of? We know that as we behold the Lord Jesus, we are being transformed into His image. And I believe this is a figurative term being used, for they will see God. It's not that we are trying to reach a level of purity so that we can see God. It is about cleansing your heart before the Lord so that you can see Him, and as you behold the Lord Jesus, you are transformed into His image from glory to glory. That is what Jesus says. That attitude is blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, what's the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker? A peacekeeper, the simplest one. A peacekeeper is the United Nations in Rwanda, in the genocide. Compromising on the truth to try and keep peace. A peacemaker is a Marine in the Second World War. Standing for the truth and making peace where he goes. Blessed are the peacemakers. We are called to be peacemakers. Why? Because the world is not at peace. The world is in rebellion against the Father. And we have received the message of reconciliation. There is good news. There is reconciliation. If you turn, place your faith in the one who paid the price for reconciliation. This message of reconciliation has been entrusted to us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have agreed that the church will bring the message of reconciliation. And they are not going to go to a plan B. Okay? They are not going to send an angel. It is the message of reconciliation entrusted to us to be peacemakers. In Romans 8, we read that creation is waiting in earnest expectation for the children, for the sons of God to be revealed. Why is that? Because peacemakers are called children of God. That is our role. And when we act as peacemakers, creation rejoices because the children of God are doing what they're called to do. The Lord Jesus says that is blessed. I've spoken about blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. He ends this again. He starts with the Beatitudes with blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he ends again to remind us, remember, this is where we start. When you come to salvation, you're in the kingdom of heaven. It is already here. Where the children of the king are, the kingdom of heaven is present. Now, why? I was contemplating why these characteristics. What do they mean for us in our community? Let's consider that for a moment. If you are poor in spirit and you have placed your faith, you have come to salvation, you are exercising and walking out humility. In your relationships, you will walk out your humility with your spouse, with your children, with your community. If you mourn for your own sin, you are quick and you are soft, you are soft at heart, and you are quick to repent towards your family, your friends. That looks different to what the world looks like. The Lord wants that to be displayed. If you are in a place where you have great strength and you exercise that under control, you are walking out the meekness of Christ as opposed to what the world wants to overthrow and enforce by might. That is blessed. In our relationships, if we are merciful, because everyone needs mercy, if we grant mercy easily, we receive mercy quickly. In a community that is torn, the merciful will stand out like a sore thumb in a good way. That is what the Lord Jesus wants to see. That is what is blessed according to Him. If the children of God were to insist on being peacemakers, were to pursue being peacemakers, were to stand up for the truth without compromise, then society must change, because social justice is not an option when you're a peacemaker. It is not an optional add-on. It is the very essence of being a child of God. We do not need peacekeepers in this world. There are enough of them, and they're not fixing it. There is only one answer. What the Lord Jesus has done applies the same here, the same in China, the same in Afghanistan. This is the blessing of salvation that is available to every believer. And the Lord Jesus wants our communities, our houses, to reflect these blessings of salvation. Because that is good news no matter where you are. That is a community you want to be in no matter where it is, where these are walked out. Just to close this off, I want us to consider the words of the Lord Jesus again in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 11. Jesus is teaching, and a woman says, as Jesus was saying these things, the woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Isn't that just our natural reaction? That one's blessed. It's this and that. Jesus replies, no. He says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let us be a people who hear the word of God and obey it. I'm going to close all for us. If you don't mind standing again, you can stand with me. Thank you for your word. Your word that is truth. Your word that is alive. And your word that cuts away so that we can have life. This morning, Father, we want to once again, come and believe. Believe your word. Believe that this is what you consider to be blessed. Believe that this is what you are able to empower us to live like. Holy Spirit, we know that you can lead us in this. Lord Jesus, I pray for us that we would be a people who understand these attitudes of being, who obey these attitudes of being and pursue them and to walk them out by the leading of your Holy Spirit and the empowering of your grace. If you are here this morning and you have not placed your hope, your trust, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't leave without doing that. We are here this morning because He has done it. And we have the privilege of experiencing the blessing of salvation. If that's you, come after the service. I'll pray with you. For the rest of us, let us trust the Holy Spirit once again to lead us. To lead us to be merciful, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to understand our desperate, beggarly state in ourselves, and to receive the true wealth of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Let us trust Him to lead us this morning. And in this week, let this become a pursuit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus.